Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
Man, so this week, y'all know I always got a good story. This week, my daughter, she's like, Daddy, I want to watch, she says, my show. I want to watch my show. And the thing you know about my daughter, every show is her show, right? So it could be a movie, it could be a show, it could be anything. Every show is her show. She's like, Daddy, I want to watch my show. I said, okay, well, which show of yours do you want to watch? She said, I want to watch a movie. And I said, okay, man, we can watch a movie. What movie do you want to watch? She said, I want to watch a new movie. And I said, okay, and I'm trying to think, okay, I know you've seen a lot of stuff, and I've kind of banned Frozen for a little bit. So I'm like, man, let's find a new movie to watch, something that you haven't seen before. And so she's like, okay, and we were watching on my phone kind of after work. And so this movie came up, it popped up, and this movie called Meet the Robinsons. I don't know if you've ever seen it, a little Disney animated movie. Right, and so she's like, "Man, let's watch this movie, Meet the Robinsons." She's like, "I want to see that. That looks cool." And I was like, "Okay, well, we kind of turned on. I had seen parts of it before, but I'd never really watched like the full movie. Right? It's kind of one of those lesser known Disney movies. Right? It's good, but it's a really good movie, but it's just not known. You know, there's some of those that are out there. Right? Like Mulan. It's really not as great as people. Sorry, my wife loves Mulan. You start talking about Disney, people get upset. Right? Anyway. Right, so this is kind of on the line of Mulan and Pocahontas, right, on that level of Disney movie, right? I'm putting those out there. I'm sorry, I'm just messing. People get mad. Anyway, so we're watching Meet the Robinsons, right? Watching Meet the Robinsons, and it's the story is about this kid who's adopted, and he grows up to become this kind of famous scientist, and I won't give away the whole movie, but it really talks about kind of his life struggle, how he got from one place to another, and he kind of time travels, all this cool stuff in it. Really cool little movie. And anyway, of course, being three, about 4 minutes into the movie, she just walks away. And so I'm stuck there, and my wife's like, why are you watching an animated movie? And I'm like, she walked away. She's like, okay, yeah, likely story, right? And I'm like, okay, no, I'm really, she walked away. So I ended up watching, of course, the rest of the whole movie and really enjoying it. But man, there was this one really cool, man, I got to see the movie, and movies always, man, they preach to me, right? We did a whole movie series this last summer, but movies really preached to me, and there was this one clip at the very end that, man, it hit me, and I was kind of already in prep mode for the message, but I was like, man, Lord, you're speaking right now through this movie, through Meet the Robinsons, man, you're speaking, and this is a quote that's at the end of that movie, and it's a really cool quote, and it's by someone that I actually admire really a lot, and that's Walt Disney. Right, and this is a quote that he says in the movie. He says, "Around here, however, we don't look backwards for very long. Right, we keep moving forward, opening up new doors and doing new things because we're curious. And curiosity keeps leading us down new paths." Walt Disney said, it just comes up. It kind of appears at the end of the movie. If you watch it, I mean, it's really cool, but it kind of shows up at the end of the movie. And I mean, what struck me was the word curiosity in there. Curiosity. I was like, okay, I know what curiosity means. And so, but I was like, well, let me look it up anyways to make sure I really know what curiosity means. And this is the definition. It's basically, it's an interest or inquisitiveness about what lies ahead. It's an interest or inquisitiveness about what lies ahead. It's really what curiosity means. And curiosity, then it's interesting that Walt Disney said that because, man, if you think about it, it's really what's always been at the heart of humanity's pursuit of greatness. It's been our curiosity. Man, it's what makes us so creative. It's what makes us, there's so much ingenuity that we see in our society, in the world. Man, it's because of the curiosity that we have. Right. If you think of people like Edison and Ford and, I mean, people that have the Dodge brothers, people that have driven innovation forward in this country, it's really because, man, they had this idea. They're trying to figure out, man, what's around the corner? What's coming next? What lies ahead? Right? What's the next kind of thing? Right? We see with Zuckerberg with Facebook. He's right. He kind of obviously took somebody else's idea and made it his own. But then he was like, man, how can I take this and make it even better? Right, it's that curiosity of, man, what can we do to keep looking ahead? And I really believe that it's really at the heart of excellence. That curiosity really is at the root, it's at the heart of excellence. And as we pursue excellence, as we allow our curiosity to kind of grow and to do new and amazing things, we really are on this path of excellence. And what do I mean by that? I mean that really in all of us that there's an internal desire to pursue greatness. It's in all of us. And it might be in some people it's really big. And you can see, man, they can't not make really great ideas, and they can't not do creative stuff, and they can't not have a new business, and they can't not, you know, like just do passionate and amazing stuff, and they're rock climbing and jumping off bridges and doing awesome stuff. Why? Because they're just like, man, I'm trying to be great. I'm trying to do something amazing in my life. I don't want to be constricted or held in. Man, I want to do something awesome. I don't want to be average. I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be kind of just content with where I am. I want to really reach something great in my life. Right? We all kind of have it, whether it's, you know, blazing really bright or whether it's just a small flame, we all have a little bit of it, and we all exercise it in different ways. Right? But it really is, man, that curiosity, that desire, or that pursuit, man, to excel, to be great, it's really comes from being made in the image of God. It's where it comes from. If you think about it, our pursuit of trying to be great, it really is us trying to fit that image of God. Because when we think of God, you don't think of God as something less than excellent. Most people don't, right? You don't think of something, even if you don't necessarily believe in God, the thoughts that you might have about God, of what other people think about God, it's always something big. It's bigger than kind of what you can conceive and what you kind of understand. It's amazing, right? If you think about the creation of the world, right? The fact that the planets move in a certain way that correlates, and, you know, we get the sun comes up and goes down, right? And you have clouds and you have all this amazing stuff, different trees and all this stuff. When you think about it, you think, man, if God did all of this in 7 days, wow. That's amazing. And that bit of passion, that creativity, that curiosity, that pursuit of excellence burns a little bit or a lot of bit in all of us. We're all trying to say, man, what is it that I can do to become great? What is it, man, that I can do to become better? And if you think about it, what often stands in the way of people reaching kind of what they're trying to get to, reaching that place of excellence, reaching that place of greatness, there's always something for those people that never get there. There's something that holds them back. And if you think about it, a lot of times it has to do with their past. It has to do with something, man, that happened before. And whether that's, man, it could be history. It could be a relationship, the person that you couldn't let go of, right? It could be a lifestyle. It could be a decision that you made. It could be pain that you've experienced in your past. It could be failures that you've experienced in your past, right? It could be sin that you did knowingly and unknowingly, sin that you did. And it could be, a lot of it is fear. And I thought it was cool that Walt Disney gave that, they got that quote from him, because I don't know if you ever kind of looked into his story. He failed like hundreds of times at different stuff. As great as we think Walt Disney is now, I mean, the dude's got his own world, right? I want a Kevin Reed world. This dude's got a Walt Disney world, right? And not even got a world, he's got a land, right? I want a world and a land. And you know what? He's also got a Euro world, right? How's that happen, right? You want that. I'm like, man, that's cool. You have to be somebody that's thinking amazingly to even reach that point. But the beauty of Walt Disney is that this dude failed so many times trying to reach that level of greatness. And the impact that he's had on the culture is felt throughout. The fact that I mentioned movies and people got upset about it, right? Because they think Mulan is a top level movie, which it is not. But I mean, the fact that people get upset, man, it's like, wow, you know, that's the culture, man, that's the impact that he's had. And some of that burns small or large in all of us. And I'm saying, man, we should be pursuing that. We should be going after that and not allowing, man, our history or our pain or the lifestyle, that stuff to hold us back from what we're trying to achieve and what we're trying to seek. And when you look here at Paul in Philippians 3:13, he says there, and I see him kind of saying, man, he's kind of saying to the church the same thing I'm saying now, like, man, let's push for greatness. Let's push for excellence. Why? Because I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to be average. I don't want to be satisfactory. Right? I want to be excellent. He's saying that here in Philippians 3:13. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What is that it? It's perfection. It's perfect excellence. He's saying, man, I haven't quite gotten there yet. I haven't quite reached my place of greatness yet. But he's saying, man, here's what I'm going to do. Man, I'm going to forget what is behind. I'm going to forget the stuff that's been holding me back for so long, the stuff that's in my past, the stuff, man, where I've just messed it up and gotten it wrong, and I've screwed up, and then I screwed up again, and then I got it a little bit right, but then, man, I really, really, really screwed up and then came back. Man, I'm going to just forget all that. Why? Because I'm trying to be great. Man, I'm trying to reach this place, and he's really talking about excellence and perfection in Christ and knowing who God is, right? But even if you apply it naturally, he's like, man, I'm leaving that stuff behind so that even in my natural life that, man, I can be great. I can be something beyond what I've ever imagined. He's saying, so what I'm doing, man, I'm going to forget what's behind, and I'm going to strain toward what is ahead. Man, I press on toward the goal. So, man, despite all the stuff that I've been through and the baggage that, man, I might have had in my past and the terrible relationships, man, and the sin I've done, man, and the wrong stuff that I even mentioned it, y'all would just disown me and leave this church if you really knew some of the stuff I did in my past. Y'all would just walk out the door like, this dude is crazy, man. But I'm going to leave that stuff. Why? Because, man, there's a goal that I'm trying to reach. There's something that, man, I feel like, man, I've got to keep pressing. I've got to keep pushing. As a church, I'm saying, man, we have to go deeper and dig deeper and go stronger and be better. Because there's something, there's a goal that's ahead. And I'm saying, man, I'm going to press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul's trying to communicate here. And I think Paul, when you look at it, there's four kind of key points that I think that he lays out here that relate to our Christian life, right? That show us if you're in a place where you feel like I'm okay, but I want to be great. I'm good, but I want to be better, right? We're making it, but, you know, it's kind of, we're not really forging ahead like I want to be. Or maybe you're in a place where like, this is, maybe you're kind of on the path, but you're like, man, this is unknown territory. I don't really know. Maybe you have a new house, a new car, a new wife. You got a new relationship, a new job, a new something. And you're like, man, I'm trying to be great in this thing because I don't want to look back 5 years from now and not be where I wanted to be. I've got some goals. There's some things I'm trying to hit, man, and I'm trying to not be deterred by, man, what's happened to me before. If that's you, right? Because that's part of that's me. If that's you, I'm saying, man, here's four things that in this verse that Paul, you can kind of see, you can pull out from this verse. The first one is this. Paul recognizes that he has not arrived. He recognizes that he has not arrived. He recognizes that, man, there's more ahead of him that he has to learn and he has to grasp, right? He's still saying, you know what? I'm going to remain teachable. I'm going to remain humble in a place where I can really push for more and see that there's better for me. A lot of times we get caught up in a place where we think we've made it. We kind of live this social media life where it all looks good, right? And instead of pushing, we kind of think, man, I've got it. I'm good. We've got our two jobs, our 2.5 children, and our white picket fence, and I'm gravy, right? I don't need anything else. That's where we kind of get stuck. And he's saying, you know what? I haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived, right? He recognizes that there's more ahead, right? And if you think about Paul, if you think about this man, he was an incredible missionary, traveled literally the known world at that time, did all this amazing stuff, and yet he's still saying, man, I'm still not that great. There's more that I could be reaching. There's more that I could be doing. There's more to learn. There's more for me to experience in God. He's saying, man, I'm not satisfied. What I have is good, but I know that there's a new level in God. There's a new level in my life that I can reach. I haven't reached it yet. It's the first thing. He hasn't arrived. The second thing is this. He knows he needs to leave the past in the past. If you look at it, he says it there, man, forgetting what is behind. I have to forget it. I have to forget it. That stuff that you had, that you dealt with, that you've been through, that kind of scarred your life, you have to forget it. It's not easy. It's a process, right? You have to get to a place where when somebody brings it up that you don't, right? It's kind of how you know, right? If, say, you're dating somebody and you get cheated on and then, right, you're talking about it and somebody mentions it and you kind of get that, right? It's just that little bit. Just something that was in your past. Somebody brings something up that you did that you're not so proud of and you still get that, then you know that, man, you haven't quite let it go. He's saying, man, forgetting what is behind. You have to put it behind you. Learn what I can learn from it and move on. And at some point, man, I have to stop holding on to what was good so that I can experience what is good. I can't let the past be the only determining factor in my present. Why? Because you'll get stuck and you'll get stale. It's the worst thing you can be is stuck and stale. Two things I don't like. I don't like, my wife especially doesn't like, but I really don't like, you ever had those dreams where you're in sleep and you can't move in your dream? Anybody ever had those? That's just me. I have those dreams and I hate that feeling. And you know what I also hate? I hate stale chips. Drives me crazy. Oh my gosh. Stale Doritos is like the worst, right? Because you got your mouth all water. You can taste the cheesy goodness and then you taste it and it's stale. Right? I can't be that way. I can't stay there. I can't allow my past to get me in a stuck or stale place. That's what he's saying here. Man, number three, man, if I'm trying to achieve greatness, if I'm trying to be excellent, what do I need to do? Number three, man, Paul realizes, man, he has to desperately pursue greater. Desperately pursue greater. Man, even if I'm over my past and I've gotten past that point, man, I need to be seeing what's in front of me and going after it, right? If I'm trying to start a business, or if I'm trying to manage a business, man, if that's a goal of mine, then not only am I leaving my past behind, but I have to doggedly pursue that business. I have to guard it with all my might. Just this morning, man, the guy that does signs, and we're still trying to figure out, pray for Carl. We're trying to reach him. I don't think he's still texted us back yet. But, man, we came in off the highway, and the signs weren't up. Now, I had a choice in that moment. I could just come into church, do my normal routine, and not care that signs were out. Or I could put my happy hips in the car, roll to where I know the signs are, and go put some out. And that's what I did. Why? Because I'm saying, man, if I want City Heart to be great, I know that it starts with me. That means I have to doggedly pursue what I'm trying to reach. If I'm trying to make City Heart a great church, if I want us to be a great church, man, I'm trying to do that. In your business, if you want it to be great, you have to doggedly pursue it. You have to go after it with all your might. You can't give up. You can't quit. This is not the time to quit. God has given you that dream and that idea. And I'm preaching to somebody today. God has given you that dream and that idea in your mind. And he's saying, do you believe me? Do you believe the dream that I've given you? Man, I'm going to bring it to fruition. Man, if you would just trust me. And I'm saying that to us today. Man, don't give up. Don't quit, man. You just started. You believe in that dream. Keep believing. Keep pushing. Don't give up. We have to desperately pursue it. There has to be something on the inside. It has to be a fire and a desire. There's an old song that says that fire and desire, right? There has to be that on the inside. It has to be a fire and desire on the inside to achieve greatness. It's not always going to be easy, right? I would love for it that it would just be that I could snap my fingers and all the stuff that I'm dreaming about would be there. No, it's not always going to be easy. But I know when I get there and I look back at what I've been through, man, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth the long hours and waking up early and staying up late, right? It's going to be worth the times where I just felt completely exhausted and tired and felt like I couldn't go on. And I said, no, well, I got to keep going. I got to keep going one more day, man. If I just go one more day, I'll feel better about it. And then something clicks, something turns, and it may not be the biggest move, but it's something that just pushes me on for the next week. Man, I'm taking that little bit, and I'm using that as fuel to get me to the next place. I have to desperately pursue greater. The fourth thing I have to do that we see here is that Paul says, man, what does he do? He continues to set his sights on the right goal, Right? He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The goal is in relation to what God has called him to, right? And the work that he's doing is, the work that he's doing is related to the calling that he has, right? And the quality of the work he's doing is respective of the calling, right? We said last week that everybody here is ministers, right? I told you, I called you all into the ministry last week. And if we're going to be a ministry church, if we're going to do this ministry of reconciliation, if we're going to be that, we can't just do it haphazardly, right? We can't do it just, man, that's kind of good. We'll let that run this week. No, we have to continue to pursue excellence. We have to continue to try to go forward and be the best we can. We have to keep our minds and our sights on the goal, because the goal is probably, it is bigger than what we could ever think. The lives that we're going to touch as a church, it's bigger than what we can imagine. What this church is going to eventually be is bigger than what I'm even conceiving in my mind right now. It's bigger than that. My wife's always telling me, man, maybe we just need to dream bigger. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. If I'm putting limitations on God, if I'm limiting what I think that he can do because of my thoughts, then I am removing from him the power that he has to truly bless me, because he's trying to expand what I'm thinking. That's why he's saying, man, only trust me. If you would only trust me, if you'd only put, man, your hand in my hand and allow me to lead you down the path, man, I'm going to bring you to something that's amazing. He's what he's trying to do for us if we would just begin to trust him, if we would begin to see it. God has called us into the ministry, man, and it's what he's put in all of us. This attitude that you see Paul have is what we need to gain, really not only as a church, but in our personal lives. Right, we need it as a church. I'm saying, yeah, let's be better as a church. We need it as a church, but even in our own personal lives, we need that. Right? We're saying, man, we're going to strive to get it right. It's one of the values that we have as a church. It's one of our core values as a church, that we're going to strive to get it right. That's what this pursuit of excellence means. Right? We're going to strive to get it right. And really, if I could break it down, this is what it says. It says, our message won't change, man, but we'll consistently evaluate ways to improve our methods. Our message can't change. We've been talking about the last few weeks, this ministry and this message of reconciliation that we have, of bringing people that are far from God to a place where they are close to him, right? People that are lost would be found. People that are in the dark, we brought to the light. That's why we're called to do what we do, right? And so we have to have this attitude. These four things, man, we have to have this attitude. If we're going to do it and do it well, which I'm saying, if we're going to do it, let's do it well. Let's not kind of halfway do it. Let's really do it well. These are the four steps we need to follow, and you'll see that they're very familiar, right? The first thing, we have to realize that we haven't arrived as a church, right? What you see right now, take a look around. We're not going to be here in a year. This size, we might even be in this building. I don't know. But we're not going to be here. As we continue to push, as we continue to excel, we're going to continue to grow. And I believe that God has a plan, a specific plan for this church. But we have to recognize, and we can't be complacent or happy, for lack of a better word, with where we are right now. We have to get the mindset that we haven't arrived. If it's your business, man, we have to know that we haven't arrived yet. We haven't arrived. We haven't reached that place. Man, what's the second thing that we have to do? We will not be afraid as a church to leave the past in the past. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be afraid to leave the past in the past. So what was great last Sunday, that was great last Sunday. What we need is what's fresh for this week, what's fresh for now, what's going on in your life. We have to continue to allow ourselves to move past where we are, even if that means breaking with tradition in some ways. Now, obviously, I wear jeans and stuff on a Sunday. That's on purpose, because we want to reach as many people as we can, right? And I'm saying, man, we can't be afraid. I grew up in a church where I wouldn't be caught dead in this, right? I would literally probably be whooped when I was a kid, right? But I'm saying, you know what? To reach more people, to have as many people affected as we need to have, man, I'm willing to go the extra mile, right? I'm not going to be afraid to leave the past. right? Where it's not effective or beneficial, we're just not going to do it, right? And what's number three? Man, we're going to pursue a better way. There's always a better way. There's always a better way, right? I talked last week about Carl, who does put out the signs. Man, he developed a better way to do it than I had. Jordan does social way better than I do, right? Roger is a better photographer than I will ever be, especially a videographer, and he can edit. I can't edit to save my life, but he can edit, like, in no time. Like, it's just a breeze, right? There has to be a better way, and where does that come from? That comes from all of us. It comes from all of us. You have some things in you that you're going to see that are going to be a better way than what I can do it, but we have to pursue it even if it's challenging. Because a lot of times, if as we're pursuing a better way and we come up against a challenge, we stop versus continuing on, pressing on to find the mark. And the fourth thing that we'll do as a church to reach this goal, man, we're going to keep our focus on the goal. Our goal is to bring people to God. So simply as I can say it, our focus is to bring people to God, to allow people to know him better. Our message won't change, but man, we'll consistently evaluate ways to improve our methods so that we can reach people. It's that message of reconciliation that God has given us, man, to bring people back to him. And we have to do it in a way that is excellent. We have to pursue excellence. We can't just rely on how we've always done it. Even as a church, we can't just be the same Jackson that we've always been, divided. That's just not who we're going to be as a church. We're going to be a unit. We're going to be together. We're going to be family. Man, despite politics, despite race, despite economics, despite all that stuff, in this church, we are going to be family. We're going to pursue greater. Because I believe if we can do it here, they can do it out there. If we can show them that we can do it in this house, why can't Jackson do it? Why can't Madison and Ridgeland and Byram and Clinton and God knows all these other places I'm still trying to figure out the names of? Man, if we can do it here, right, we can do it outside of these four walls. We can do it at JSU. We can do it at Bellhaven. We can do it at Millsaps. We can do it all. Man, it starts here. It starts with us. We have to want to pursue better. Why should we pursue excellence? Because that is a standard that God operates from. I'm not going to tell you to do something that God doesn't do. Let me show you from the Word so you know. Genesis 1:31, you'll see this if you read through the Genesis, through the creation story several times. God saw all that he had made, sun, moon, stars, ocean, fish, people, goats, whatever else. He saw all that he made, and it was very good. What you see there is evaluation, right? And then you see him seeing it and saying, okay, this is good. You see the standard. It's very good. Okay, great. We'll leave it just how it is. Giraffes, awesome. Long necks, great. We're going to leave it just like that. It's very good, right? That's our standard. And why excellence? It's because excellence creates comfort. Excellence creates comfort. So as people come in from the outside, as they're looking for God, and that's what they're doing if they're coming, they're looking for God. What people do and what we do, we recognize God when we see excellence. That's how we know, right? We actually recognize God when we see excellence, and people are looking for that. When they walk into our church, that's why we have coffee and donuts, and they had candy out there today, Lord Reese's. I saw it out there. We had stuff out there. Why? It's because when people come in, we want them to feel comfortable and welcome. We want them to feel like, man, this is a place, whoever I am, that I can come in and feel like, man, this is home. That this is, man, this is where I want to be. We want them to know that, man, this is a place where God lives and this is a place where your heart can live. And that's why as a church, we're consistently evaluating our first impressions. Man, how do we greet people at the door? Is there music outside? We're about to get a boombox outside just so the music in here can pump outside. So that when people, even before you come in the doors, you start to feel, oh, okay, there's something going on here, right? We're looking at praise and worship, right? Today was great, and we're going to continue to try to get better, continue and improve. Man, kids ministry, we're looking for teachers. I'm going to put it out there. We're looking for people that can step up and say, hey, I want to get in the classroom and help these kids. We want it to be a fun experience so that when people come in who've never been to church and they walk through our doors, they're like, okay, I can leave my kid in here. It looks safe. It looks clean. It looks like they were prepared for me when I came in. We spend time every weekend making sure that it looks a particular way. Why? So that it brings a level of comfort. right? And that really should be the standard of the church. I've been to many churches that's not the standard, where it's just like, okay, right? That's kind of the standard. It's okay. But no, I'm saying let's pursue excellence, right? Even my messages, I listen to them. I'm like, okay, I can't do that anymore, right? I can't say that sunshine and rainbows, whatever I said that time. I'm like, I can't say that anymore, right? I'm trying to be better in my messages and all of our spiritual life. So I'm saying, man, let's go to small group. Let's connect and work on our soul salvation. Why? So that when somebody comes through the door, that we're prepared for them with excellence. We're ready to, man, to greet them with the love of God and be able to even share something in their lives. There's something that you're going to share with somebody that I won't even be able to share. But I'm saying, man, let's do that from a place of excellence. Why? Because it brings comfort. If you think of the church as a door, right? We can give a face of an open door, or we can give the face of a closed door. I want us to be an open door. When people walk up on our stoop, that they're not having to bang and knock and ring the bell 10,000 times to try to get in. That's not God. I'm saying, man, let's open a door. Let's create an environment where people feel like, man, I can just stroll in here. Man, I can feel welcome. Where they know, man, this is where I need to be. I want to give you this story, and I'm going to end. Just this past week, I had the worst dining experience of my lifetime. Just bad. Bad restaurant experience. My first bad one in Jackson, like in the Jackson area, mind you. I've had some bad ones outside of here, but this is my first one here. Right now, what made it really bad is that on the surface, right, if you just went up to the building, it looked like it was an okay establishment. Like, okay, if I bring my family here, we can have an okay meal. Might not be, you know, 5 stars, but, you know, we'll have an okay meal and we'll go. We walk in, and I was just like, you know, it wasn't that bad at first. But then as we went to the table and as we sat down, and, like, we just started to smell different stuff that didn't smell like restaurants. Right. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, it was kind of I'm not going to mention too much about the place because I don't want to give away the name. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's business. But we kind of went to this buffet kind of line, and I don't do buffets a lot, right? We kind of went to the buffet line, and it was just like, ew. Right? And so we had to, like, try to find the safe stuff. Come on, anybody done that, right? Try to find what's the safest thing that I can eat? What looks the safest? And there was some stuff that I was like, okay. And my wife picked, I'm going to pick her because she picked it. And I was like, okay, right? And so she's like, babe, she kept asking me all night, babe, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be all right. We're going to be fine. Like, I'm eating like rice and chicken. I'm not trusting anything else. It was like the most basic plain thing I can eat. But, man, why did I tell a story? It was just bad. From the wait staff to everything, it was just the worst experience ever. And it's in a place that's not – it has other decent restaurants around it, right? And so I was like, man, this is a pretty bad experience. I don't want our church to be the bad restaurant. I don't want when people come through our doors and come in, it looks okay from the outside, but when you come in, there's people that aren't really nice. Or when you come in, man, there's not really enough people in kids' ministry. Or the band just kind of halfway did it this week. Or, man, I just kind of halfway did my message. Or we halfway kind of welcome people that don't look like us or are different than us or that we don't really know. Man, I don't want to be that kind of church. That's not excellent. There was not any pursuit of excellence whatsoever in that restaurant from anybody. You could just tell. There's some, like, random tchotchke stuff. Like, it was just terrible all the way around. And I'm saying in that moment, like, y'all thinking, why didn't you get up and leave, Pastor Kevin? And I was thinking that for a moment. But then I was like, well, as we were sitting there, the Lord began to talk to me. I didn't even tell my wife this. The Lord began to talk to me and show me, okay, is this who you want to be? Because a lot of times in our lives, we'll serve up buffets of terrible to people, thinking that just because they walked in the door that they should eat. But versus, hey, maybe don't serve so much stuff and do what you can do well. Do what you can do in an excellent way. And then as you grow, get some better stuff. Get some more wait staff. Do, you know what I'm saying? Clean. Right? I'm saying I want us to be a church when people walk in that the experience beats even the presentation. what people think is going to be that. When people leave here, that they leave here every week encouraged and blessed. That's the type of church that we want to be. We're going to be pursuing excellence as a church. That's why, man, when I say that we strive to get it right, that this is really what I mean. That, look, we're not always going to be excellent in everything, but that should always be our goal. We should always be pursuing it. And I'm saying even in your lives, in your relationships, in your marriages, in your businesses, in whatever God's calling you to, in your profession, in your skill, whatever it might be pursuing excellence. It should be that way in every area of your life. And if there's an area of your life that you're thinking, man, I'm not so great in that area, be pursuing greatness. I want to be great. I don't want to be average. And not so that my name can get out there. No, but so that somebody can know the Lord as well as I do and better. There are people that are lost and they need excellence. They need us to strive to get it right. It's not always going to be easy, right? It's not always going to be simple. But if we pursue it, it's going to be worth it. What it starts with is that curiosity. It starts with, man, can we do this better? Is there a better way to do this? I think like Walt said, man, if as we continue to do that, as we continue to have that curiosity, it's going to lead us down paths, man, to new and great things. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.